Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's another Saturday, and we're here on the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm Angela Williams of the Anointed Masterminders, and I'm in the virtual studio with my mastermind partners, Beatrice Lewis-Saint, who's our group leader, and our brother and friend, Rufus Curry Jr. Good morning, Beatrice and Rufus.
Good morning.
Rufus, you there, my man? You there?
I am here. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, all masterminders and all folks who are looking to make their lives way better than it presently is.
Awesome, awesome. So we're excited about being your host again today, and we've got today and two more Saturdays before our time with you will be over. So I want you to call your family, text, or email a friend right now. Tell them we're live on the air, and they can join us via internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or they can call us on the phone at 661-554-9219. So if you want to communicate with us while we're talking, you can join us in the chat room or log on through Facebook, and Rufus will keep us posted of what you're discussing or your comments. Or you can hit us up on our page, International Mastermind Association, on Facebook. Today, we're going to be discussing the book, Think and Grow Rich. Again, we're on Chapter 5, Imagination. And I had so many thoughts running through my head when we started reading Imagination. So we want you to just get ready, sit back, relax. We see people are logging onto the board. We're happy to have you out there listening to us. But, yeah, invite someone else to help them make their life better. Before we get started, for more information about International Mastermind Association, you can visit us on the web at internationalmasterminders.com or, of course, on our Facebook page, International Mastermind Association. Either one of those places, and like our page if you're not already a fan of our friend, of our page. We want to give a shout-out to Ann McNeil, president and founder of International Masterminders. She's traveling today, so safe travels to you, Ann McNeil. Ann McNeil is the master builder building masterminds. So, Beatrice, you want to take it from here?
Well, I just want to remind our listeners who we are as masterminders. We are a group of people with like minds who come together based on the mastermind concept in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. We're committed to helping each other to grow, to meet our goals, to really be the best that we can be. We meet on a regular basis for the coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people so that we can meet our purpose in life, meet our goals in life, so we can live our best life. We share knowledge with each other. We give each other advice. We support each other in any way that we can once we've set our goals so that we can help each other achieve our goals. But more importantly, we hold each other accountable. We commit to holding each other accountable and helping each other really just meet our goals. I want to just remind our listeners about what the 10 areas that we focus on. We put first things first. We first set goals in our spiritual lives, with our families, for our health. And next year, Rufus and Angela and I, our entire theme and focus next year, besides everything else, is really going to be a major focus on our health. We also set plans and goals in financial business. We encourage all of our masterminders to have a business because we all know now no job is guaranteed. You got to have a side hustle. We want to give back to the community, so we focus on civic, personal, educational. We believe that learning is a lifelong process, and we should learn every day, whether we're sitting in a class, taking a webinar, or listening to someone that has wisdom to share. Recreational. And then lastly, our creative lives. What are we doing? Music. Are we learning something new in terms of an instrument or what have you? We're writing. We're writing a book. We're being creative in terms of our writing. So those are the 10 areas that we focus on. Rufus, tell our listeners about our IMA annual meeting that's coming up.
Okay, this is something that's really exciting. It's a great way to start the new year with an event where you are among like minds and folks that are trying to do the same thing. We have the upcoming event of the IMA Annual Meeting of the Masterminds will be on Friday, January the 6th, and Saturday, January the 7th at the Embassy Suites in beautiful Boca Raton. The rooms are only $109 per night, and the registration fee is a paltry $75, including a continental breakfast that my partner Angela M. Williams said is off the chain, and a lunch on that Saturday. So Friday night is the meet and greet, as well as our annual success table, where everybody will have displays of their large and small gains and lurches into success. Members set up tables and display items such as books, pictures that tell the story of the annual accomplishments. Meet all of the published IMA authors on Friday night. IMA has 12 or more published authors who have used our principles, practice, and processes to make their dreams of being an author come true. So one blessed person will win a paid registration into our annual meeting. So keep listening for details, but you must be willing to show up in Boca Raton and improve your life, because that's what it's going to be. That whether you want to or not, that's what's going to happen. We'll also be giving away some coaching sessions by Ann McNeil, Success, the Glenn Bland Plan, and Raising Champions by yours truly, Rufus Curry Jr. So listeners, please know that you can raise your hands to ask a question by pushing 1 on your phones. Before we start our book, what we'd like to do is I'd like to make sure everybody's in the chat room or a lot. Angela, what's the best place, what's the best chat room for them to be in? Is it the Facebook chat room or the Log Talk Radio chat room?
Well, once they log in through Facebook, it's the same chat room. It becomes a mutual chat room.
Okay.
Just logging in through Facebook is just easier than going to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalk.com, then finding us. So if you're on our page, you go to the International Shasta Association and click on that link, it'll take you right into the chat room.
Everybody got it? You got it?
And don't forget, you can just press 1 when you're ready to ask a question or to make a comment. We see our listeners are joining us on the switchboard, so thank you very much. We've got a great day planned for you.
Yeah, this is as Beatrice was saying, she was enjoying the chapter. I have been enjoying this chapter as well because it goes back to the core of, it's like being a kid again. You know, after Thanksgiving, you know, we hear that Christmas music, you know, and I have the original soundtrack to Charlie Brown's Christmas, and I love that soundtrack because that soundtrack makes me feel, you know, like I'm about 7 or 8 years old again, and I'm thinking back to you just dreaming and imagining and creating these things in your mind that are all so possible. But what happens as we grow older, that aspect of our gift or the God in us has a tendency to get crowded out, and we begin to become, as folks say, we grow up and we become practical, realistic, and responsible. But the reality is that we look around us, and as my son reminds us, as I taught him and my lessons come back to me, and I say, hey, look, remember this. Everything that you see around you is an idea. From the chair that you're sitting on to the clothes that you're wearing to the computer that you are on, the cell phone that you're listening on, all of that, was an idea at first, you know. So somebody took that idea from their imagination and they put it and brought it into reality. I mean, and that's an awesome thing, because when you look at the possibility of what can be done, you know, whether you inject something new into your recipe, your pound cake or whatever like that, you know. So like Angela talked about last week, when the young lady found herself in dire straits financially, she took her grandmother's recipe for apple cake, which I need to get a piece of at some time in the near future, and she turned that apple cake into a business. she had an idea, and she launched that apple cake, and it became a business. So it says that imagination is the workshop of the mind. Man can create anything he can imagine. Man's only limitation is the development and use of his imagination. So the only limit on you is your inability or your unwillingness to develop your imagination and to use it, to employ your imagination and allow it to work for you. So that's it. So when you're looking at things and you're solving problems, or as simple as if you have two kids at the house, it's kind of like a word problem. I have two kids at the house. I need to be to work at 7:30. The kids don't get to school until 8 o'clock. I need to figure this out. Oh, I'll go next door, tap on Mr. Jones's door, and ask him if Ms. Jones can take the kids to school for me, or can they wait at the house in a safe place until it's safe for them to go out and catch the bus or walk to school. That is using your imagination. You say, well, no, that's just figuring it out. Tomato, tomato, it's the same thing. You saw a solution to a problem that existed in front of you, and essentially what that is synthetic imagination. When we talked about synthetic imagination, that's essentially when you are using things that already exist. Mr. Jones already exists. His front door already exists. He is your neighbor. His wife is your neighbor. The school exists, and you just need to create a timeline using the things that presently exist to solve the problem. So you went next door, you knocked on the door, and you created a schedule that will allow your children to get to school safely, and you can go to work and do your thing. When you look at rigging, when we say we rig something, I'm going to rig something up. When you were at Big Mama's house, and some of that couch just got a little wickety-whack, and one of them legs got a little short, and Big Mama said, hold on, don't worry about that, hold on, give him a piece of newspaper. She gets a newspaper, and she folds that newspaper up, and she said, hold on, ain't this right. Let me fold it one more time. Whoop, and she put that newspaper up under that couch leg, and then she said, okay, baby, go ahead and sit on it. And it hides it here. And the couch is not teetering back and forth anymore. That's synthetic imagination, because she used something that already exists to solve a problem. Now, that's the most common form of creativity. That's the most common form of imagination that we use. It's kind of like the company, the company BASF. It says, we don't make the things that you use, we make the things that you use better. And that's all they do. BASF is a company that focuses on improving existing products. So,
Rufus, that there was a genius idea within itself.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I never even heard of that before.
I love BASF, man. We don't make jack. Give us a minute to look at it. We'll make it better.
Make it better. But you know what I wanted to say about imagination as you walk through? When we're little, we have this really vivid imagination. Sometimes we have imaginary friends. And the first thing adults start doing to you as a child, or adults do to other people's children, is they start saying, oh, you don't have, there's nobody there. Stop saying that. Stop imagining all this stuff. That's not good. When actually what we're doing is we stifle their creativity from the time they're a little child by telling them not to have an imagination. Can you imagine if someone like Steven Spielberg or what's the Walton Disney World guy named something? If someone has stifled his imagination, he saw all those characters, Minnie and Mickey and all those guys, in his mind before he put them on paper or before they became a display and the animations that they are in Disney World right now. What if someone has stifled that? So I want to just say even to our parents out there that have children that they're still raising, don't stifle your children's imagination. Allow them to dream and to. That's what imagination is. It's a type of dreaming. It's seeing what others can't see. You're imagining. That's how some of the best novel, you know, writers, love story, love novels, whatever they're called. I don't read those kind of novels, but
romance novels.
That's the word, romance novel. I can't get the word out of my mouth. Romance novels are written. Someone imagines being in love in all these places. So when your child has an imagination, please don't be the one to erase their imagination by telling them not to have it, because you're clueless to what they're gonna imagine. And if it's going to make them rich, famous, you know what I'm saying? So let's not do that to our children, or in some people's cases, their grandchildren. Let's allow them to dream big and to have an imagination, because that's what Dr. Dupree says. Everything is an idea.
Yeah. Well, in the book it says, the great leaders of business, industry, finance, and the great artists, musicians, poets, and writers became great because they developed the faculty of creative imagination. Both the synthetic and creative faculties of imagination become more alert with use, just as muscle or organ of the body develops through use. So we as adults have to find a way to be creative, to imagine, to think about the possibilities. And I recommend just sitting in a quiet place, you know, taking time to decompress, to think of ideas, and always having something to write with, a pen, a pad. You know, sometimes you're asleep and you think of an idea and you wake up and, you no longer remember it. So it's important to be able to record what you're thinking about, because you never know what you might revolutionize, what you might change, what you might create. So, but most of us are, we're hustle and bustle, we're running. We don't have that quiet time, that quiet place, just to think, just to focus, and just to really build the muscles of imagination. And I think it takes that in order to really hone in on that creative part of you.
You're absolutely right, B, because, you know, I'll give you an example. Mostly about 5 or 6 years ago, I was asleep. And I had this idea. I was for a slogan, and it was four words. And I sat up in the middle of the night. This slogan was so strong. It was so hot. It was on fire. And I said to myself, I didn't have anything to write with, but I'm going to go back to sleep. When I get up in the morning, I'll write it. I woke up in the morning. I was going to write it. And I only had three words left in my brain. I could not and cannot, till this day, remember the fourth word on the slogan. The three words, they're okay, but the fourth word was just like the ice cream, the cherry on the top. And I can't to this day. And you know, this is 2011, and what you can do, we have so many electronic devices, just like we talked about using a smartphone, cell phone, what have you. There's a notes page on your cell phone where you can take notes. And you can record. There's an electronic recorder right there where you can hit the cell phone and record a voice message to yourself. You know, and you talk about creativity. If you're familiar with the group Black Eyed Peas, and the leader of the group, the Black Eyed Peas, is a gentleman by the name of Will.i.am. And Will.i.am is a unique way of looking at his first name, which is William. And his name is Will.i.am, and he said that whenever you call me, he says, you'll never be able to access my voicemail. And so Oprah said, why? He says, because every time I have an idea, I call myself and I sing whatever the tune is or whatever the idea is into my voicemail. Then what I do when I get to a place where I can sit down, I go back to my voicemail and I play it back, and then I write my ideas down and erase the ones that I don't need anymore, because I catalog them or what have you like that. So, I mean, that is an awesome task or tool that each of us has at our hand right now. So when you look at that, you say you have these ideas. And also what we have to do, Angela, when you say that we've been educated away from this gift that God has given each and every one of us, what we have to do is the biggest mistake that we make is allowing someone else in our heads. You know, my wife, Valerie, her grandfather told her, you know, when he was driving and the man behind her was blowing a horn, He says, "Bomb, bomb," you know, he says, "Get out of the way, get out the road." And she's a granddaddy, the guy's blowing the horn. And she says her grandpa told her this, "Baby, you can't drive but one car at a time." So it's the same thing. When we look at inside of our heads, there is only space for one person, should be only space for one person in our head at a time. And a lot of times we have ideas or impulses that we can use to change our life. But what we are most concerned about is what other folks are going to think. And when you and if you go back in the preceding chapters and it talks about the opinions and allowing other people into your headspace or us sharing our ideas with people, and the people are well-meaning, but they, through sarcasm, they undermine us. They pull the rug from under us. They psychologically beat us down. They destroy our confidence. And we walk away from something that could have changed our lives in a matter of months, you know. So, excuse me, you have to hold on to your mind because, you know, creative imagination, it says, it basically, in my mind, it's akin to God, the creator, or the force of life. Because that's the thing that keeps coming up with, we talk about a heart transplant, a liver transplant, a kidney transplant. You know, we remember when these things didn't happen. You know, those of us that are old enough, and now these things are commonplace. I saw a lady on the news the other day. She found her kidney on Craigslist. You know what I'm saying? I say, but the transplant game is stepping up. Boy, you can go just go on and get one. You know, so, but it also says that you need to understand that when we talk about the creative imagination, it says that to create via hunches, inspiration, impulses, and knowledge of realization from a place or something or thing we cannot understand. And don't worry about trying to explain where you get these ideas from. That's really not important. That's just like the building being on fire and you're on the fifth floor and you look out the window and there's a ladder. And instead of using the ladder, you're trying to figure out who made the ladder, how did it get there, and who knew you needed it. The trick is just use the ladder. Just go with the idea. Don't worry about where it came from. If you want to think about that, you can do that later on when you have some time, when you're sitting in your palatial mansion, you can figure out how that idea came to you and you did what you had to do to get change your life for you and your family and others around you. You know, so we talk about a strong desire. Strong desire is the beginning point. Strong desire is the beginning point. Strong desire is the only way to stimulate creative imagination. The conscious mind working at a rapid rate is the only way to fire this process. Strong emotions. When you are looking for something, if you're trapped and you're in a room and you need to figure a way out, that mind is working so fast. And it is thinking on a level that it normally does not function on. But it's amazing how if you ever get to watch the movie Apollo 13, and it was the story about the astronauts when they were in orbit around the moon, and the system shut down on the spacecraft, and they couldn't power the systems back up. So what they did down at the space station in Houston, Texas, I believe it was, is they went in a room and they created a room, and in this room they said, let's catalog what's presently on the space shuttle with the astronauts, or the spaceship with the astronauts. Put these things in the room, duct tape, 6 feet of hose, a cardboard box, some drumsticks or whatever. And they said, go in a room, work with these things that are located on the spaceship and create a way to fix their problem. And they locked these guys in a room, and they looked at this stuff, and they rigged something, which is a cultural speak for they created something to solve something that would solve the situation that was way out in space. So they call the astronauts and say, all right, look, you got 6 feet of hose. You have 2 feet of wire. You have a cardboard box. You have some duct tape. Do this, do this, do this. Rig it up to this, and then you can do this. And sure enough, these guys were able to create on the fly a solution that saves astronauts' lives and brought them back to Earth. You know, so you're talking about creativity on demand right there. Boom, boom, boom. You need it. So, you know, if it can work for that, it can work for changing your life or saving your life as well. So we talk about starting with a desire. What is your desire? Your desire is to change your life. Your desire is to make more money. Your desire is to start a business, to make more money so you can take care of your family. Your desire is to write a book, to get your message out and make money so you can take care of your family. Your desire is to send your children to school. Your desire is to bring your parents down a bigger house so you can bring your parents into your space and they can have a little autonomy and be with you, and you can still retain your space as well, and you can take care of your parents. Your desire is to travel the world. Your desire is to sing that song, write that song, make that music. Just go see and witness the wonders of the world. I got to get to the North Pole and the South Pole. I don't believe those penguins are that tall down in the South Pole, but I need to go down there and verify it for myself. So what is your desire? You're going to have to write that desire down, and then that desire is going to be the thing that's going to fire your imagination. You're going to begin to see things differently. When you go to work, when you look at what you're looking at, and you say, well, geez, man, you know, I work at a place where they use these screws. I was telling the kids the other day in my class, who makes these screws? There's a company that just makes these little bitty screws. You know those screws that hold your glasses together, that hold the arm onto the eyeglasses? Somebody makes those screws. And you think about it. And I want you to, when you go throughout life today, I want you to look at everybody that's wearing glasses. And just remember, each person that's wearing glasses has at least two screws in their glasses. Somebody had to make the screws to sell to the eyeglass company for them to put the eyeglasses together. So that was an idea. So just like that, ideas are out there, and they're all over the place. So desire, but you got to remember this, desire is only thought.
Well, you know, Rufus, we have a caller who's had their hand up for a couple minutes here. Let's hear what the caller question or what their comment is, and then we'll come back to that. Because I want us to talk a little bit about the story of Dr. I don't know if his name is pronounced Gunasalas or something, but
Gunasalas.
Let's talk about that story. So let's take our caller calling from a 954 area code, but you're the one with the last four digits, 8501. Caller, are you there? 8501? Caller? Hello? Okay, 954, last four digits, 8501. All right, well, we'll come back to you in a few minutes. Hopefully you'll be back then. All right, Rufus.
Yeah, that story about Dr. Gunasalas, I hope we're pronouncing it correctly.
Right.
In the chapter Imagination, you know, it talks about what I would do if I had $1 million. And he needed $1 million. And for 2 years, he was thinking about how to get $1 million. What could he do? And couldn't really, come up with a plan or get the millions, but he was consumed with it. It became an obsession for him, and he had a purpose for the million dollars. He had a definite purpose, and so it was a burning desire, and he put that together with his faith. You know, he visualized it. He believed, you know, that he would get that $1 million. And then once he decided that, you know what, I have to take some action, you know, and he determined how he would get the $1 million. So he decided that he said, you know what, I'm going to get the $1 million by Saturday. So he set a time frame. A lot of us, you know, we quit before we get to the desires of before we get to that that goal. We let people turn us down, or make us feel bad about what we want to get done. He didn't allow that to happen. He continued and he persevered. And what he did is he wrote a sermon, and you know, to talk about why he needs $1 million and what would I do if I had $1 million. And believe it or not, he wrote the sermon and forgot his notes, okay? But because it was so much part of what he had been wanting to do for 2 years, he had been thinking about it, it came from the heart. And, you know, he gave the sermon, and a man walked up to him and said, I believe in what you just said, and I will give you $1 million. And what he did with it was open up a school, a technical school. That's now the Technical School of Illinois. That's what he wanted to do. And so, you know, the point is, don't give up, okay? Make it a burning desire, have faith, a definite purpose, and to set a timeline. And when you realize, you know what, I need this, it's going to be done, and it's going to be done by this time, it can happen if you believe, if you have faith. And he was willing to ask. And this is, you know, the idea that came to him in terms of how he could get it done. And sure enough, by the end of that sermon, someone said, I will give you $1 million.
And the writer here, well, Napoleon Hill, the writer says, part of the problem with imagination for most people is we throw in the towel before it comes to pass. But because the desire wasn't burning enough inside of us. Because when something is your imagination, you imagine something, you see it, you know it's a good idea, you have to have that burning desire that you won't throw in the towel, that you won't give up, and you'll keep looking for ways to make it happen. He said it's always on your mind. It just resonates in your head over and over again. So if you've got something that you've been thinking about, don't give up on it. It doesn't mean that it's over. Because it hasn't happened, you just have not put to action everything that you need for it to happen. So we want to encourage you to let your imagination run wild. And everything that comes to your imagination, just write it down. One of those things is something that's really going to bless not only you, but it's going to bless others. I love that story. Just it was such a great story.
That's a powerful story. Because you have, not only that, Angela, what you have to remember is that remember, Thomas Edison had an idea about creating an incandescent light bulb. He had the overall idea, but a young brother by the name of Louis Latimer, he had a piece of that idea. So he took his piece and added it to Thomas Edison's piece, idea, and it became a whole. It became a functioning thing. And sometimes when you have an idea, you have an idea for a piece of something, just like that screw that holds the eyeglasses together. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with your vision, but it makes the eyeglasses practical, comfortable, ergonomic, so that you can wear them on your face and you can see without interruption or what have you like that. So a piece.
And you don't have to hold your glasses up. That screw keeps the arm on the glass, so you can just put them on your face.
Yeah.
Remember the old glasses? They used to look through the little things, actually. The lens was like a magnifying glass.
Exactly.
But now you can put glasses around you. Well, it's even gotten cooler now. Somebody imagine, I don't want to wear glasses anymore. That's how the contact lens came to be.
Absolutely.
So that's even cooler. So imagination is a powerful thing. And for those who joined us since we started this conversation about imagination, we said something earlier about if your child has an imagination, don't stifle your child's imagination, because your child could have the vision in his head that changes, it's the big next thing, whatever that next thing might be. We don't know what it is, but without his imagination, he won't be able to do it. He needs imagination. He needs his creativity. So support your child when they're creative or they have lots of imagination, because you don't know what you're molding and supporting there. So we just want to throw that out there.
And, you know, in the same story, you know, it says how to transmute ideas into cash. You know, he said what he had to do after 2 years is to stop imagining, stop thinking, and put things into action. It says, ideas can be transmuted into cash through the power of definite purpose plus definite plans. So you find many people who are thinking about things, they're always saying, what am I going to do? This is what I'm going to do. I want to do, I have this idea, but they never take the time to then put actions and a plan in place. And that is definitely important in translating the ideas into concrete plans that will allow you to grow and revolutionize something or change something. It's not enough to just dream, but you have to take the dream and put together an action plan and work it.
That's so true. Because yesterday my post on Facebook, stop making excuses and start making plans and you'll get something accomplished. And the bottom line is, having the imagination is great, but then you have to start making a plan. I'm not sure if it's Dr. Dupree or Ann McNeil, and I guess you guys hear us mention those two names, so they've been powerful influences in our lives. But one of them says, you got to plan the work, then you got to work the plan. You can't plan a work and do nothing with it because it's just a plan on paper. But then you got to start working the plan. That's why when we talk about goal setting, we talk about action steps to accomplish the goal that you have. So having the imagination is great and having the burning desire, but that burning desire should lead you to some action. Because it's like the Chinese proverb that says, vision without action is really a daydream. So you got to put some legs to what you're talking about. We see some new callers have joined us. We're so glad people are getting up. It's 8:30. Oh, it's 20 minutes to 9. Let's try our caller who's has her hand up one more time from the 954 area code, last four digits, 8501. We're going to try it one more time. Caller, are you there? Caller, can you hear us? All righty. Well, maybe they hit the one by mistake and they're a little bashful. If you hit one again, it'll actually take you out of the call-up line, and we won't keep calling your name. But if there's anybody else that's on the call with us and you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, please feel free to. I think we better move to what we're going to, the other tip that we're going to give to them today, Beatrice. I think you really wanted us to talk about setting goals again this week, so we're moving to the 20-minute mark here, so I think we better move to that, and we can talk about imagination a little bit more next week.
Well, remember, you said it. You said it's not enough to daydream, but you've got to put together plans and action steps and how do you, set goals. And our tip today is really setting SMART goals. And probably many of you, in your planning process at work or if you've gone to, training sessions, they say, hey, if we're going to set a goal, it has to be SMART. And SMART means specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So when we talk about specific, we have to think about and be able to answer the W questions. Who is involved? What do I want to accomplish? Where? Identify a location. When? Establish a time frame. When do you want to get this done? Which? Identify requirements and the constraints. Why? Specific reasons, purpose, or benefits of accomplishing that goal. Why do you want to set that goal? And you got to measure. The M is measure. Establish a concrete criteria for measuring progress toward the attainment of each goal. So, say at the halfway mark, the quarter mark, what have I been able to do? What did I say I was going to do, and have I done it? When you measure your progress, you stay on track. You reach your target dates and experience the joy of just achieving your goal. And that's what we do when we mastermind. We say, this is what I want to do this week. This is what I want to do this month, this year, this quarter. And there's nothing like saying, wow, I did it. The A is for attainable. When you identify goals that are most important to you, you begin to figure out ways that you can make them come true. You develop the attitudes, the abilities, the skills, and the financial capacity to reach them. And don't forget, the people that can help you attain the goals. You're not by yourself particularly if you're a masterminder, because you got a group of people that care about what it is that you want to accomplish in life, and they want to help you accomplish them. They'll open doors for you. They'll make phone calls. They'll give you their expertise. And your goals have to be realistic. And, again, we're talking about imagination. We don't want to stifle anyone. But sometimes if your goals are not realistic, you know, if you're unable to accomplish them, then you feel, you know, down and you know, you're down on yourself. So it's important to set realistic goals. What I tell people is you might want to set a goal and then set a, what is it called, a personal, what's the word I'm looking for, where, you know, you say, okay, I want to make $1 million, but, you know, maybe realistically I can make 500,000, okay? So, you set two goals, but one that's really high to achieve and one that you think is realistic and you have something to really push towards. Is your goal realistic? Does it represent an objective toward both that you're both willing and you're able to work for? A goal can be both high and realistic. You're the only one who can decide just how high your goal should be, but you have to be able to, you know, make sure that you can make substantial progress. And then the T is timely. A goal should be grounded within a time frame. Many of us set goals, but we never say by when. Okay, do I want to lose it? You can't just say, do I want to attain this goal? It can't just be someday, in the future, next week, in a month, 10 years from now. You have to set time frames. And the second T, T can also stand for tangible. You know, a goal that is tangible, when you can see it, feel it, taste it, smell it, hear it, okay, it makes it that more exciting, that more real to try to reach. So let's not forget that our goals have to be smart, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely, and the second T is tangible. Any thoughts on that, Angela?
I was just going to say two things. Is timeline, when you said about timely, I think sometimes when we set goals, we don't put dates on them, when we're going to accomplish them by. And sometimes what happens is that goal stays on our list of things to accomplish forever because we didn't really make it realistic by putting a timeline. I want to do X by X. I want to lose 10 pounds by March 31st. Then I would break that down, since Hope is on our end losing weight. I would break that down as I need to lose 3.5 pounds every month. That's really realistic. All you got to do, well, not for me because I don't drink soda, but if you're a soda drinker, all you have to do is remove soda from your diet, and you could probably lose 3 pounds a month. But you got to have a timeline. When do you want to accomplish that goal? And then break the goal down, like Beatrice said, not saying I want to just make $1 million, but maybe I want to make $1 million by 2014. So each year to get to that, I've got to make $250,000. I've got to make another $350,000. And to finish it off, I've got to make $400,000. Then that way it's broken down in what we call manageable pieces, because when you have a large goal, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged if you say, wow, I got to lose 50 pounds. But what if you say, I've got to lose 10 pounds? Then when you lose those 10 pounds, I've got to lose another 10 pounds. Now, you can use your imagination while you're doing it. Imagine yourself getting smaller while you're going. That will help ladies on the losing the weight part. But break it down in increments. Set the date and keep moving forward. And the measurable part is Beatrice keeps getting on Rufus and I. How do you know if you did it if there's no way to measure your success? I know, B, that's become a big part for you in making sure it's a measurable goal. Can you just give a little bit of more insight on how people can measure, set goals that are measurable?
Well, for example, in my job, I run a business organization. Every year we do what we call a work plan. And it has how many, how often. If I'm setting a goal for the number of sponsors, I say I'm going to get 10 new sponsors, 50 new members. I'm going to retain our membership rate our attrition rate to, I'm going to reduce it by 10%. You know, if you don't set you know, a measurement tool, it's hard to see where you are when what your progress is. And so I report on it monthly because I work for a board of directors. I report on it monthly, and then at the end of the year, I put together an entire report in terms of, you know, this was the action, this was the work plan. I then, within the work plan, I set the targets, I set the goals, numerical frequency, and at the end of the year, I look at that and I measure that towards the plan, and that those are my successes. That's what I share with the membership and the board. I say, these are the, this is what we were able to accomplish. But I wouldn't know what I accomplished if I hadn't set the action plan and if I hadn't set goals, but specific numerical, quality, quantifiable, you know, measuring tools in what I want to accomplish. So I'm tracking every day, and that's really the best way to be successful is to track. And it is nothing like reaching that goal and setting high expectations. You know, they say, reach for the stars and you may get to the moon. It's just the opposite. Yeah, I'm not really good at those things.
Yeah, we know, Beatrice, you don't do well with cliches. Yes, it's reach for the stars, you may land on the moon.
Okay. Hey, Beatrice, she is the most southern Haitian sister we know, but anyway. Hey.
Oh, I tell you, she never gets the cliches right.
she's like my brother. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. All right, we've got a caller with their hand up. Caller calling from the 704 area code 8500. We're going to bring you in. Can you hear us, caller?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Good morning. Identify yourself.
Good morning. It's Carol Sankar. Good morning, Minister Angela.
Good morning, Carol Sankar. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm up.
Awesome. Good. You want to chime in here and talk to us about what we've been discussing today, make a comment, ask a question?
I love everything you guys have been discussing so far. I think it's wonderful. And one thing Beatrice just said that for me was about the measurable aspect of setting a goal. But what I also sometimes find is that we don't set the bar high enough. We set a goal that's right within our comfort zone. And so, therefore, when we don't accomplish something right within our comfort zone, it's almost like we're not going up one other level, like how children go up one grade level every year. The expectation is that they can compete within the gold standard within that grade level. Sometimes what we don't accomplish has to do everything with the fact that we're not stepping our game up, we're not stepping our alignment with people up a little bit. So we get rid of the comfort zone and get rid of the same people who are talking beneath us or talking on our level and start obtaining and aligning ourselves with greatness in other levels so that we can obtain higher goals and achieve I wouldn't say obtainable things, but things that make us challenge ourselves to be able to create a bigger vision, a better vision, a bigger goal, a better outcome of circumstances. And so I always say that it has a lot to do with sometimes we don't want to align ourselves with anything bigger than we already know. So therefore we have the same result and we get frustrated and give up.
So true. That's how I really got to know or came to know Beatrice, Rufus, Ann McNeil, and all the other great people that I've come to know through International Mastermind or Professional Speakers Network. In 2007, I don't know if you remember it, on your ministry, T.D. Jakes preached a series called Repositioning Yourself. And I listened to the third, it was four CDs. I listened to the third CD over and over again. It was the part where he said that if you're the smartest person in your group, if you're the person in your circle, if you're the person that everybody comes to borrow money, if you're the person everybody pulls on, you're the person that everybody asks questions, then your circle is too smart.
It's too
you need
small.
To expand your circle. And Dr. Tina Dupree, who's all of our speaking coach, she used to send me emails constantly. I used to ignore them because when I met her in 2004, my mother had just died, and I was in my grieving mourning period, and I just wasn't, you know, my life had just drastically changed, caring for a father who was legally blind and just a whole bunch of stuff. My sister Francine was really going through a hard time due to my mother's death, and she was living with me because she was divorced. I wasn't interested in nothing, but when I heard that series, I knew I had to do something because I needed to expand my circle. About a day or two later, I had not received, because this was 2004 when I first met Dr. Dupree. Now it's 2007. I used to get them all the time. Then after a while, I didn't get them anymore. And then as soon as I made up my mind that I needed to do something, they said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, Dr. Dupree's email came to me. I showed up to to PSN. There I met, on the first meeting, there was only four people in the class, Ann McNeil, Dr. Dupree, myself, and Yolanda English, and as they would say, the rest is history. And I met some awesome people, finished my certification, and I was a great speaker at that point, but wanted to have a speaking certification. If I had not gone to the speaker's class, I wouldn't have met Ann McNeil. If I had not met Ann McNeil, I wouldn't have met Beatrice and Rufus. So you're so right. We've got to learn to push ourselves and really stretch ourselves and do more. Rufus, quickly, give us the name of the company that doesn't make anything. All they do is make it better. What's the name of the company?
The name of the company is BASF.
Okay, so we got to do a BASF with what we're doing. Make it better, stretch it, increase it. And there's nothing wrong with asking. Ann McGill told me one time, she said, if you do not want your territory to be enlarged, do not read the book, Increase My Territory. What's the name of the book by the author?
Jabez.
Yeah, the book of Jabez. Don't read that book, but if you're looking to increase or stretch yourself, read the book of Jabez, because you'll get what you ask for, but God will push you to do it. Thank you, Cheryl. Appreciate you calling. I see we've got callers joining us at 10 and 12 minutes to the hour, but we've got another caller with their hand up from the 904 area code. Cheryl, keep listening in, and we appreciate your comment.
Anytime. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, caller calling from 904. Last four numbers are 8310. Are you on the air with us?
Yes, good morning, Angela. This is Cheryl Lawson-Wright. How are you, my sister?
Awesome, Cheryl Lawson-Wright. We're so glad. This is your third Saturday spending time with us, and I see our friend Sophia in the Tampa area is there. Good morning, Sophia Baker. We appreciate you ladies supporting us. You got a question or a comment?
I'm a comment, and I'm loving it. I have a long day, alumni, funeral, sorority, but I'm on the move, but I'm listening. So I love you guys, but just going in line with what you're talking about today with SMART goals and dreaming and envisioning, a cliche that I use every day is that, and that keeps me going and that truly kept me through my journey, that made me be such an overcomer through my journey. Because you know my story, and if I
know your story,
and that if I didn't believe and truly have faith, and didn't live by this every day, and that saying is, if you don't see it before you see it, you will never see it. And I walk in that every day.
Because, awesome. You know, so just repeat it one more time. Repeat it one more time. I love it. I understand it completely. But
if you don't see it before you see it, you will never see it.
That's powerful. That is. And for those who can't see that or understand that, if you don't see it before you see it, you will never see it. So you got to see it in your head before you can see it. Because if you don't see
it
in your head,
envision it.
That's right. Oh my God, so powerful. For those who are joining us for the first time, Cheryl was on the very first Saturday we came on, and she shared with us some of the things she's going to do in 2012. She's going to become a life coach. She's going to write a book. She's an upcoming and inspiring author. So look for the book that's coming out. And give them the name of that book again, Cheryl.
My J-O-B is over. My journey of bondage is over.
Angela, I wanted to bless Cheryl with the registration, because of everybody that's called so far, she's been with us every Saturday. you know, we were trying to figure out a way to give a caller a registration to the annual meeting. I really think we should bless her with that registration.
We did say one of the conditions was they had to be willing to come to South Florida to the meeting. So, Cheryl, we're putting you on the spot here on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to give the registration to you if you're willing to come to the annual meeting January 6th and 7th.
Praise God. I truly, truly, I will be there. You know that is home, so I don't have to worry about staying or living anywhere. So thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. Now, Sophia Baker is in the 813 area code, and she's been on with us every week as well. So, Sophia, if you want to drive over from Tampa, I will actually pay for you to attend the annual meeting. So we're going to get one to Cheryl. And, Sophia, you can let us know if you want to come. And if you're with, you can get here and can come, you can get in as well. So because Sophia has been following us every week. She did talk the first week, but she's been posting on Facebook. She went out and bought the book. So she's been reading the book. And our friend in Atlanta, Terry Richards Williams, has went out and bought the book. She's been, Rupert, she's been posting Napoleon Hill comments all over Facebook. So we know she's reading the book. So, Cheryl, we will see you January
6th and 7th. Beatrice. I can't even get it out. I'm so excited.
That's
right.
Call me
B. Thank you so much.
Call me B.
Thank you so much.
All right. So we've got a winner. So, Ann McNeil, I think you're listening to us finally because Ann is traveling. So, Ann, we've got a winner. And you know what? I'm not sure if the other Jacksonville crew is coming, but Ann can let us know because we actually have some other people that belong to IMA out of the Jacksonville area.
Okay.
So, and maybe long term we can even partner you up with them if you don't have some people that you can that you've thought about. We want you to think about if there's people you can create your own mastermind group. But if you can't, we actually have some people in the Jacksonville area that are masterminders.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Thank you for calling, Cheryl. I can't wait, my sister. I can't wait.
Yes, the feeling is the same.
Awesome. It looks like Ann McNeil is coming on. So, Cheryl, I'm going to leave you in the queue for a second, so don't hang up. I think Ann wants to say something, so let me. I'm pretty sure this is Ann McNeil. Ann McNeil, is this you?
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder building stronger and better lives. And you are on the air, and I am in the air. So I just wanted to call in and say you're doing a wonderful job. And I'm going to sign off before the intercom on this plane comes back on. But thank you all so very much.
Okay, and we don't want them putting you off like they put that other guy off last week. So turn that cell phone off. All right, Ann, safe travels. Love you much.
And you're too cute to go to jail now.
I hear you.
Oh,
all right,
Cheryl.
Thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, and you can continue listening. All right, we're all right, my friend. All right, guys, we're almost at the top of the hour here. We've talked about SMART goals, and B has given us some who, what, where, when, which, and why things to help us do SMART goals and to set SMART goals. So Beatrice and Rufus, as we're getting ready, I know we've got to give our recommended reading for this week, but you guys have anything else to say about goal setting before we move on to the closing?
Well, I just want to say what gets written down with action steps and timelines that are SMART goals get done. It's the power of writing your goals, the power of writing action steps, the power of doing stretch goals. It's incredible. My experience as a masterminder the last 4 years has been the most productive, the most blessed, the most grounded. I know my purpose. I know where I'm going. And I really owe so much to this process and so much to Angela and Rufus for being such a blessing in my life. And it's an amazing feeling to know, you know, where you're going, having a plan, having a definite purpose, you know, and the desires of my heart, you know, I have faith And it does work. It really does work. Masterminding does work.
It certainly is. I want to just give a shout-out real quickly to people who are listening. They haven't called in. They're on, I think they're listening via Internet. Lauren Francis Nance, that's our friend who stumbled up on us the first day, and she wanted to know what made us different from other groups and other mastermind associations. Thank you, Lauren, for continuing to listen. She says she's resting her body, but she's listening to the International Mastermind Association blog, talk radio, and her little mini-me brought her the best cup of tea, thanks to your daughter, and she sends a shout-out to our group. Thank you. And then Stacy Virgo just joined us but says she'll have to catch the call on the playback because she missed it. So thank you, Stacy, for letting us know that you're going to listen to the playback, the archives, actually. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. We want to give a shout-out to all of those. We've got some faithful listeners who've been on the line every week. Oh, we've got one more hand up. So, and this is her first time putting her hand up, but we know that she's been listening to us before. So let's just let her chime in right quick. Area code 770-8092. Got a question or a comment, and identify yourself.
Hi, Angela. This is Terry. How are you?
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Good. I've been listening in every week, and one thing I'm going to need the masterminds to help me with is that I would like to start a mastermind group in the Atlanta area. So if you have anybody to hook me up.
We don't know anybody off the top of our head, but we're going to start posting it. We're looking for some masterminders. But we always tell people, think about people who are similar to you that are
okay.
not connected directly to you so that you can grow with them, and think about people who don't do the same thing so they'll bring something to the table. So you start doing that, and then we'll start posting on our page, and we'll start asking people that we know from our group, that they know people in the Atlanta area. But the one thing about it, Terry, is they don't all have to be in Atlanta. They can actually
okay.
be just
virtual.
Like, that's right, virtual. Beatrice and Rufus and I don't live in the same city. We live in the same state, and we see each other from time to time, but we don't see each other every day or every week, or sometimes it's months before we see each other in person, and we have to plan to see each other by attending each other's events or ceremonies. So you can actually have a mastermind partner like Cheryl Lawson Light in Jacksonville. She could actually,
okay.
if she's interested, because you don't have to be in the same city. As long as you got a phone, and we all got a telephone, you can mastermind with people in other areas. So I know that Sophia's looking for some mastermind partners. We actually can maybe even put together a mastermind group out of these phone calls. So those of you who've been listening on a regular basis, you're interested in the mastermind group, please reach out to me and let me know. And I've coached two or three other groups and in the past, and I would even be willing to be your mastermind coach and get you guys going.
Sounds great.
So we know Terry's interested. Anybody else, just inbox me and hit me up and let me know if you're a regular listener to this call. I know Sophia and Nikki were kind of talking, so let's see if we can get a group out of the people that have been religiously, as they would say, listening to our group the past few weeks. Terry, I wish you were closer. We try to get you down to the annual meeting, but you can put that on your goal for 2012. That you'll be ready to come to the 2013 annual meeting.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh, I'm so glad. And keep enjoying that book because I see your posts every day from Napoleon Hill.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. All right, we got something going here, and it's the top of the hour. Listen, Ann McNeil has joined the call again. Ann, you're going to get put off that airplane. Turn that telephone off. Unless they delay the flight, then you're okay. All righty, so go ahead, Rufus. Beatrice has given her a final thought on just the setting goal part. Anything else you want to say before we chime off and I give the final remarks and stuff and give the recommended reading and all that good stuff?
My thing also is this. We talk about, Beatrice mentioned earlier about use or practice or exercise your imagination. With the practice or exercise of your imagination, the size of a muscle and your creative imagination fall under the same law. You need to exercise it, stretch it, give it some resistance, and give it some hard work, and it'll become stronger and stronger. Because remember, you know, and because what you want to do is you want to take those desire impulses and transmute them into the physical representation. So practice with that. And what you also need to do is you need to read this book. You need to read this book and read this book and read this book over and over again so that you can, these things become habitual, so that you, you know, don't think about it. You know, like I tell the kids at school, I said, kids at school, they use profanity so much, when I ask them what they said, they don't even remember it. So I know it has become a habit. So we want Think and Grow Rich to become a habit with you, so that you can have these things in your daily speech pattern, in your daily thought process, when you contact folks, when you start conversations in the whole nine yards. We want you to be on that wavelength on a continuous basis, because ideas are the beginnings of all fortune. You know, I just wanted to plug in. Look, if you're by yourself and you haven't gotten a mastermind group yet, I recommend that you get the Think and Grow Rich workbook. It's a spiral bound book. You can find it in Barnes and Nobles, Borders, or what have you like that. It's the workbook, and they have these individuals use this workbook. They created this workbook because they were trying to apply Think and Grow Rich in their little group. They were two writers that were writing this book, this novel together, and they took the book, Think and Grow Rich, and they cut it up. And they put it out, and they pasted it to these pieces of paper so they could actually look at the text and do the exercises in the whole nine yards. And this book is good, you know, and I bought one for my wife and I to share. But as I began to look at the book that I gave her, I said, I need to get my own book, you know what I mean? I need to have my own thing. But that's a tool that you can use, the workbook also. It's a good tool. So all you have to do is do it. I say ain't nothing to it but to do it.
All right, we gave out some really great books last week for recommended reading, so we're going to give out five additional books. The recommended reading from last week was posted on our Facebook page, International Mastermind Association. We're going to do that again today. We've got five more really great books, and even if you can't get them all now, write them down. People list them, and as you can afford them. And if you check Amazon, sometimes you can buy them used for really a really great price. Sometimes Amazon has books for $3, $4, $5, $6. And then some of these books are becoming available on your Kindle or your Nook as well for even less than that. So our first book this week is Acres of Diamond by Russell Conwell. I mean, that is an excellent book. If you don't know that story, it's worth it just to find out the story. I mean, it's an excellent book. That goes back to almost to imagination to some degree, so I won't give it all away. But sometimes what you need is right there. You just got to see it. There you go again. You got to see it. So it's an excellent book. I'll post the ISBN numbers on the page, but the book is Acres of Diamond. Then the next book this week is The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clason. Another fabulous book. I think this is one of Dr. Mia Merritt's favorite books, The Richest Man in Babylon. We, in the back of our International Mastermind book, when you become a member, it gives you a list of, did you say it was 100 books? It's a long list of recommended readings. These are all books that and you know, the Master Builder has personally read and recommends as you are developing yourself. And everything is not about finance. Some of them are spiritual, some of them are finance, some of them are time management, personal development. Because remember, we're different because we're not just interested in you getting rich. We want you to be successful and prosperous in every area of your life. Our third recommended book this week is As a Man Thinketh by Alan James. You got to change your mindset if you're going to be a masterminder or if you're going to live life differently than you are now. It not only starts with what you see, but it also starts with what what you think. You've got to train yourself to begin to think differently. Book number four this week is Creating Affluence. So Affluence, Affluence by Deepika.
Deepak.
Say it again, Deepak. Okay.
Deepak Chopra.
That's it, Creating Affluence. That's another good book to read. And then the last book for spiritual development and spiritual growth, as Beatrice said in the beginning, I probably should have made this number one, is Keeping First Things First. If you don't know your purpose in life, you will never be successful, and that's The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. So we've got five good books. I will post these on our page and International Mastermind Association page with the ISBN number, and keep this list so you can get these books when you can. Well, Beatrice has so gracefully reminded us we're 14 days from the new year. Oh, my God, 14 days from the new year. Why not begin masterminding now and being on track to accomplishing your goals and dreams for 2012? Don't forget, we'll be in the beautiful city of Boca Raton at the Embassy Suites for our annual meeting on January 6th and 7th. Cheryl Lawson Wright will be joining us there, and hopefully Sophia Baker will be joining us there. Today is the deadline. If you go on to our website, internationalmasterminders.com, you can actually register there for $75 if you would like to attend our annual meeting. I know Tanisha, I think Tanisha is on well as well. She's been listening every week. She's right here from Pompano. So, Tanisha, you can meet us in Boca for the annual meeting. So next week we're going to be concluding Chapter 5 on Imagination and probably starting on Chapter 6, Organized Planning, as well. But we're also going to be talking about another piece that's very dear to Beatrice Rufus and my heart. We're going to be talking about vision boards, how to create one, what should be on it, how to use it, how to align it with your goals and your affirmation as well. So join us next Saturday for our fourth call. It will be Christmas Eve. Don't, Christmas Eve. Stay home until 9:15 if you got a grocery shop, or get out and do any last-minute things. Hang out with us from 8 to 9:15 as we do the fourth call next week, and as we help you prepare for 2012 so that you can not only set but achieve the goals and live the life that you've been dreaming about. So we want to thank you again for joining us this Saturday. We look forward to next Saturday. Beatrice and Rufus, you guys want to say bye to our callers?
Have a wonderful week and Saturday. We're looking forward to our calls and just really masterminding and getting people more excited about accomplishing their goals in 2012.
Awesome. Rufus, my man.
Hey, this is what I want to challenge everybody on the call to look at life differently. Write down your impulses and your ideas, and when you write them down, just write them down for the week. I want you to catalog them, capture them like Beatrice said, and then we'll move on to making plans on how to bring these ideas to life.
Awesome.
Like what G says, we bring good things to life. That's it.
We bring good things to life. Well, that's it for this Saturday. This is Angela M. Williams along with my group, the Anointed Masterminders, and we like to say we are anointed for success and prosperity. And we want to thank you. Have an awesome Saturday, wonderful weekend, and we'll talk with you next week here, right here again on the Blog Talk Radio Show, International Mastermind Association. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.
Hey, I challenge you guys to bring a man to the meeting. Bring a man to the meeting.
Get a hairy fellow to join us next week. Invite that significant other in your lives, ladies. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.